So how's everybody doing today? We got so many people out of town and gone and whatever. But we appreciate you being here. We're not going to keep you long today, but there's a thought. Gosh, it's been going through our mind. And, you know, we've been talking. I'm just going to, I thank the Lord for Jeff being here. I haven't seen him in a long time, but I appreciate him being here now so that he can be with us. But Jeff has always been a hard worker. I consider him a friend. Always did good, very honest person. But, and I'm good. It's good to see, I call them the two C's, Chris and Chris. It's good to see both of them here this morning. You know, I think that's great. And so, like I said, we have a lot of people out of town. We want you to pray for those that are missing. Pray for, you know, Laura and for John and then my son Seth and them and then Ernest and Evelyn, all of them. Just pray for all of them that are gone right now, that God will be able to bless them. And, you know, that's what we're talking about today, too. We're talking about the blessing of God. Let me just speak a little bit, talk a little bit. What we're going to do this coming Wednesday, because this is not going to be completed today, what I'm going to start talking about. But this coming Wednesday, we're going to probably have more of an open forum when we're in there. If you have questions about things that we've been preaching, you know, things that stuck in your mind, go on and bring them with you. We have something we're going to say to continue. But that may be a good time for you to bring questions and so forth so we can give you explanation. And so there may be some questions you have. Well, I heard you say this and I heard you say that. How does that work? You know, and so it's we're going to explain it to you according to the will of God, according to the word of God. And that'll work out really good, I think. But if there aren't any questions, we always have something we can say for the word of God. We believe that. That's in us constantly. But a lot of things we've been learning here lately, I'm going to say some things here. And like I said, Wednesday night, we can go into it deeper. But I want you to understand something. We are spiritual beings in the flesh. Not this. Don't think of this flesh. You know, we've told you before, the flesh that the Bible speaks about is really where your thoughts are and where your heart is. It's how you think. It's the Bible calls it the old man, doesn't it, Jacob? The old man, it's the man that's within you. Now, let's break that down a little bit. It's the man in you that did not know God that wanted to go his own way. It was the nature of man, okay? Now, when Jesus was crucified on the cross, the old man was crucified also. In other words, believe it or not, you already have victory over him because Jesus crucified him on the cross. When he died, he took care of that old man. But what's happened since then? In our world, within inside of us, we have taken on sin again. It's very obvious. Sometimes we have lust. Sometimes we have pride. Sometimes we even have anger and wrath and murder. We want to murder somebody in our life. You know what I mean? There's all kinds of things going on. There's all kinds of offense. There's, like I said, there's pride that we deal with. Sometimes we have religious thought in our mind. All kinds of things going on with us. Well, we took all of those things on again. And what happens is, does the blood of Jesus take care of things from past, present, and future? Yes, that's what he died for. But here's the thing that's important. We have to understand who we are. We are spiritual beings inside of this what we call this body here. Gary has a thing that he calls this outside thing the avatar, because this is not the real us. What does the scripture say happens to this thing? Goes back to dust, doesn't it? It decays, goes back to dust. When we die, that's the end of it. But here's the thing that I want to bring to your attention right now. When we die, that does not end us because we're spiritual beings. When we leave this life from this, we just enter right into a spiritual life. And that spiritual life, God deals with us. He teaches us. He judges us in it by that spiritual life we enter into. So, you know how they say RIP on the gravestones, rest in peace, everything's all over with and done. No, the Bible tells us it's far greater than that. Our spiritual being goes on and it still communicates. It still has things that it can do. How do we know that? Okay, all you got to do is go back to the story of the rich man. that's in the Bible. Remember him and Lazarus the beggar, they both died, didn't they? And the rich man, when he died, he went to hell, didn't he? And he's describing hell to us. But where did Lazarus the beggar go? He went to heaven. He went into Abraham's bosom, right? So remember, this is all spiritual now. This is not physical that you're going to see here. So the rich man, he can think because he tells Lazarus, he sees Lazarus in Abraham's bosom. So he can see, he can speak, he can hear, he can do all of those things, huh? That lets you know that that's how the Spirit continues. We can still do all those things. If we couldn't do those things, how could God talk to that soul and get it to make a change? Because he does do that. How do we know that? Didn't it say in the book of Peter, he says he went and preached to the spirits that were in prison that died during the time of Noah's time. Remember when the earth was flooded and all those people died and 8 souls were saved by water, Noah and his family, right? Well, where did all those souls go? Do you think they just came up and then they disappeared after they died? No. The book of Peter tells us, I think it's the 3rd chapter, it tells us that the Lord went and spoke to them, preached to those. Wait a minute. Why does it use the word preach? Oh, because you can still make a change. You can still make a change in that. Your thoughts go with you. Now, let me say this. The judgment that we receive is also because of those thoughts, what we did while we were here, while we were manifested. The judgment of God. But God, in all of his mercy, what does he tell us? It's his will that none should what? Perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. Now, we think perishing is dying in this body. That's not perishing. Perishing is when you're separated from God and you're going to a place where you can't get to God. That's the bad thing. So he doesn't want any to perish. That's his will. He doesn't want any to perish. So what does he bring us an understanding to? I'm going to get into some of that today. What if I told you that you were a word from God from the beginning? All of us in here, we were spoken into existence by God. God knowing everything that was going to happen to us through prophecy, of course, because he knows all things. I got to tell you some attributes of God. We've mentioned this before. So is God omniscient? Does he know all things? Yes. Is he omnipotent? Does he have power over all things? Yes, he does. Is he omnipresent? That means he's everywhere present, nowhere absent. So people tell me, well, you mean God's in hell then? Yes, he is. David gave us a clue about that. You know, he said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. So God gives us all of these clues through his word. We think God separates himself from us when we sin. Let me tell you something. God is right there when we sin. In the darkness, in the sin, in the midst of it, what do we have a choice to always do? Can we repent? Yes. So God is always present with us. What the devil does and what that man of sin does tries to convince you that God is not with you any longer, that God has separated himself from you. That is not how God is. You go to 1 John and God tells you that God is love. He tells you that. But he also tells you this. He said, I will always be with you. I will never leave you comfortless is what he says. I will never separate myself from you. You know, there's, let's see where it's at. I think it's the 8th chapter of Romans. Let me get here to you. Let's see if you can bear with me here a little bit. Is it like, okay, listen to this. This, to me, is one of the greatest scriptures in the Bible. It's 8:35. Listen to this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, that just means trouble, or distress? How many have ever been in distress? I've been in a lot of distress. Or persecution, have you ever been persecuted? Famine, nakedness, peril, sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, now that's what we fear so much, don't we? We fear the death of this thing. But he says, neither death, this is powerful, nor life, the life you live. Sometimes we think because of the life we live, that's what's going to separate us from Christ. That's not what separates you. What separates you is believing the lie that the devil tells you, that God keeps you separated and that you have no longer any mercy, no hope, no nothing. That's the lie we believe. Oh, I messed up so bad, God can't love me. Well, what did he just tell you? What did he just say? Nothing's going to separate you from that. So he says, death, life, nor angels. Do you know that the devil's a fallen angel, huh? You understand that? Doesn't it say that? It's the 12th chapter of Revelation, if you want to go read it. He fell. So he was judged because of the sin he tried to bring in heaven. And he was cast out by Michael, and he fell to the earth. And what did God warn us when he fell to the earth? He said, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. Satan has fallen among you. Isn't that true? He knew there was going to be trouble. And it said that Satan had great wrath because he'd been kicked out of his position. And then it said that he came after the remnant of the seed of the woman. Well, who do you think that is? He started coming after us, didn't he? And he was very successful in a lot of ways. Look at your thoughts. Look at the things that you did. Look at the things you thought to yourself. Man, I would never do that. Then you wound up doing it. Look at how you thought about people. Look at the things that things we entered into, the things that caused us so much problems, you know? And we think about that and say, why did that happen? Well, you know what we normally do? We blame ourselves and condemn ourselves. You're such a rotten, horrible person, whatever. Hold up a minute. Let me tell you, you had help doing that. And the help that helped you do that, that made you take those, you joined yourself to some thoughts that weren't good. Remember, we're spiritual beings. So what happened? We took those thoughts of the inward man and we joined them to that spirit. Now, here's the thing. Spirits you don't see. People say that they see them, but they don't. They don't see spirits. The spirit of Satan, the man of sin, all of these things that come against us, we call it the devil, we call them demons. The movies have done a bad job there. They bring them into a physical realm, right, and manifest them. But according to the Bible, you really don't see them. They work within you. They work within your thoughts. They work within your mind. So I'm going to tell you where you're going to find this. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, it talks about the man of sin, who is nothing more than another aspect of Satan. That's all it is. But the reason it says man of sin, because it works so intimately within you with your lust, your deceit, your pride, your anger. He works with that. And guess what his job is? To get you to believe those things, to condemn you. Now, here's the thing that the devil does, that, and I don't know if you've ever thought about it. First, he tempts you and tries to get you into doing things that you shouldn't do, to sin, to oppose God. Then once you do it, he condemns you. He condemns you for what he convinced you to go into. And then it's so powerful. When you go and read, I think it's in Timothy, it says, we have to make sure we're not novices, that we get to get mature in understanding the things of God. Because it says when you're a novice, you will fall into the condemnation of the devil. In other words, he's already condemned, so he wants to pull you into his condemnation. That's what it tells you. He's trying to pull you into, I don't want to go into condemnation alone. He has a judgment already. Didn't God say Satan is already judged? Soon he shall be under your feet. Hell was made for Satan and his angels. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. That's his end. That's his end. But he don't want to be there alone, does he? He wants to pull you into it. So how does he work that? Thought. He works through the thought. We say the heart. Well, what is the heart? Isn't the heart where your thoughts come from? Not this thing that beats here. We're talking about the heart of that old man is his thought. Isn't that true? So I'm just laying down some basics here for you to understand some things. So we're in a warfare, aren't we? We're in a warfare. God told us we would be in a warfare. I hear people that are religious and say they're Christians say this: come to Jesus and everything will be fine. You don't have to worry about anything. You won't have any problems. All of this will come. Just come to Jesus and everything will be taken care of. Liar. Liar. Let me show you something that God tells us. Jesus made this statement, and I'm trying to remember where it's at. Is it Matthew's or John 16:33? Well, one of you can look it up. It says, in the world you shall have tribulation. Trouble. In the world you're going to have trouble. So what is Jesus warning us about? We're going to have trouble. He said, in the world you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So that world that Satan and that devil builds up in you, and all of those things he tries to convince you, Jesus tells you, you're going to have trouble with it. You're going to have to bear it. You're going to have to deal with it. But I've overcome it. So what is he telling you? You believe in me, I'll help you overcome it. That's the key. This is why this thing reads the way it does. So it says, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, even in the future, nor height, nor depth. I don't care how high it is, how deep it is. Nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So he's pretty succinct about this. He pretty much is telling us that there is nothing that can separate you from me. Only you. You join yourself to those spirits, that's how you'll separate. That's when you get space between you and God. But God is still there. That's the thing I want to convince people of. He's still there. It says your sins have separated you from me. That's true. God is a holy God. That's what separated us. But he said, but I sent my son to die for those sins so that you can overcome them and get back with me. You see how that works? Now, I'm going to tell you something that people don't understand. All of the things that we go through in our life, all the things we think they're so wretched and so horrible and all these things. What if I told you that God is stirring that up and bringing it forth so you can face it? How many of you ever had fear? I mean, fear just driving you. You were so scared of everything. You were scared of anything that you tried to put your hand to. Think about the fear you may have had. And some people say, well, I didn't have very much fear. I always felt like I could take care of myself and all that stuff. What are you talking about? You're talking about a worldly thing, aren't you? A physical place here. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about devils that can come to you and bring torment to your mind and you can't do anything about it. Have you ever tossed and turned on a bed? Have you ever seen horrible things? Have you ever seen things that scared you in your dreams? You think about this. That's how he's trying to deal with you. He tries to put fear in you. He puts a fear of other people in you sometimes, doesn't he? I'm talking about physical people here. So you're worried about what they think about you. Man, am I long past that, Jeff. I could care less what anybody thinks about me. We've been through some things. I've had battles with the adversary, with the devil for a long time. I've had battles with demons for a long time. I've had battles with spirits. That false spirits that wanted to convince me to go one way or another way. I've had battles with things that just drove me into a great fear. Whatever. I've been through those things. I think that's why I'm a pastor, because God allowed me to go through all of those things as a training ground. Great fears, great things that came against me. And am I standing here telling you I overcame them? Don't believe that. That would be a lie. What happened was God showed me that he would be with me. Those things were stirred up to help me to overcome them. I couldn't get rid of fear by myself. There was no way. I couldn't do it. Some of us are, I used to be a pretty big guy at one time, pretty strong, pretty muscular. I used to tell people all the time, I'm not scared of anything in this world. And that was a lie, because there was some in this world. That was a lie. But you know, you put on the front. Why are we doing that? Are we wanting to be seen of men, other men, and to be viewed a certain way? Some of us can't stand to walk away from our life because these men will judge us. Well, Patty, what's my favorite saying? What's one of my favorite sayings? Man doesn't have a heaven or a hell to put you in. So why are we so worried about pleasing men? Why are we so afraid? Why do we try to do things to be seen of men? What's the approval of men? What are they going to do for me? They may say something, oh, yeah, I like you here. I think I can let you in my little clique. You see what I mean? You're good enough to come in my little clique. And then some people, they'll look at me and say, no, you're not good enough to come in my clique. You're not up to where I'm at. Think about the things that we've all gone through this. Every one of us has gone through this. So why are we so afraid of it? Why are we afraid of the things that we image in our mind? You know what? The devil knows what to bring to you because he knows the deepest fear you have. Yeah, that's true, man. He knows the deepest fear you have. And how did he get to know it? You revealed it to him. You revealed it to him by your thought. That's how he works in thought. He works in thought. He works in how you think. Think about this. And we reveal a lot of things to him. And this is what happens. When you reveal it to him, he says, okay. Now what am I going to do? I'm going to keep knocking on that thing. Keep pushing on that thing. See if I can get you to fall. See if I can get you to oppose God. See if I can get you to walk away. See if I can get you to feel condemned and guilty. Let's see if I can get you to feel that way. And if I get you to feel that way, I got you. Isn't that true? Well, let me tell you something that God did from the very beginning. We think Jesus was crucified on a cross a couple thousand years ago. We do, don't we? I want you to listen to some things I'm going to read to you today. We'll do a little reading. I want you to think. What if I told you that Jesus was slain in the plan of God before the foundation of the world? God knowing what you were going to fall into and making a way for you to get out of it from the beginning. That's the type of love God has. Isn't that powerful? What if I told you you were a word of God spoken into existence, your very spirit, by God from the beginning? Listen to this before I even go to this scripture. Think about what I'm going to say right now. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Doesn't it say that? That's the very first verse in the Bible. What is the John 1:1? St. John 1:1. Well, how does this start? In the beginning. Oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jump down to the 14th verse, John 1:14, 14th verse. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's what it says, right? So I want you to think. Jesus said, I am the beginning and I am the end. So in the beginning, stop, in the beginning, because Jesus always held us in his hand. He was created from the beginning, not 2,000 years ago. So people ask me, what happened 2,000 years ago when we see the story of the cross and the Romans doing this to him and all that stuff? He was manifested for you then. But in the plan of God, he'd already been there from the beginning. God had already slain him in the plan. God thought about you before you thought about yourself. That's how much God loves us. That's how much mercy he has for us. Wow. The invisible God that you can't see became the God in flesh that you could see, and we named him Jesus. Isn't that true? This is what happened. And so he said, I'll make myself like you, and you can't ever point your finger at me and say, well, Lord, you don't know what it's like to have lust. You don't know what it's like to do this. You don't know what it's like to do that. And Jesus is going to laugh at you. Because the scripture says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. I mean, Jesus, you know what it is to lust after a woman? You know what it is to lie to somebody? You know what it is to embezzle something from somebody? You know what it is to feel proud? You know what it is to be angry? Do you know what it is to want to murder? Do you know what it is? I know every one of those thoughts because I had to endure them. Tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Well, why? I had to come as a man so you couldn't say to me that it's impossible. I'm showing you that it is possible with me. When you walk with me, you believe in me, I can help you overcome all those things. And if you've already done them, I can help you to be forgiven for them. And if you continue to do something, I'm able to rescue you and bring you to a place of repentance where it doesn't bother you anymore. Where my Father will say, I will forgive your sins as far as the east is from the west. I will remember them no more. Doesn't he say that? Lucia, he says that, doesn't he? So the promise of God is this. He's always there to help you. We get convinced that he's not. And that's the devil's job. So in the beginning, in the Jesus, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. So let me show you how Jesus did this. Go, you can go to John 1 and 1 if you want to. So we said this already. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So what is God telling you? That Word, which Jesus is, was with him from the beginning. We were a Word with God from the beginning also. This is powerful. All things were made by him. Oh, wait. So all things were made by him? It's telling you right here. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So is that where we get the light that's in us? The life and the light is from him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Sin couldn't understand why God did this. Darkness, the adversary, couldn't understand why God loved us so much that he would do this. Couldn't understand it. So it remained in darkness. There is a darkness. That makes sense, doesn't it, Terry? And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. But then I'm going to jump down to verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. So when Jesus came, wasn't he reviled? Wasn't he rejected? Was all of those things happen? Wasn't he finally crucified and all of that for your sakes? So he made that world, but the world that he made never recognized him, because man had his own mind, his own thoughts. Wow. Even to the point where they said, you know what? This can't be who he says he is. So let's crucify him. Because he was condemned by men, wasn't he? And put on a cross. And they crucified him, didn't they? But here's the thing that's so funny about all of that. After they crucified him, he was given a commandment by the Father beforehand. And he actually told his disciples this. He said, yeah, I'm going to be crucified. Men are going to come. They're going to crucify me, put me up on a cross. They're going to revile me. They're going to do all kinds of things. But I received a commandment from my Father. Guess what that commandment was? Go, son, lay your life down for the world. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Father also gave him another commandment. He said, go and lay your life down, but I give you a commandment. Now I want you to take it up again. That's where we got victory. Crucified and then rose again. Resurrection is the key, guys. That's what we're entering into right now. Oh, people think you have to wait to a last day, a specific time, and there's going to be a general resurrection. No. What if I told you that Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life? Didn't he tell Martha and Mary that? I am that. So he went and raised their brother Lazarus, right? Isn't this powerful? So God says, I can do this anytime. Resurrection is in me. Can he resurrect you? Can he resurrect you while you're walking around here? Yes. Let me show you why. Scripture says death is to have the carnal mind, right? Do we have carnal minds? Do we think the wrong thing? Is sin prevalent in our mind? That's a carnal mind. And it says that carnal mind brings death. In fact, it says that carnal mind is enmity with God. In other words, it has an opposing hatred of God. The carnal mind does, right? But God named it death. He said that carnal mind is death. What did Jesus do to that carnal mind? He abolished it. He abolished that death for us, Lucia, so that we don't have to walk around in death. You know, there's a thing that they have in movies and on TV now where they have these men that walk around, the living dead, they call them. You've seen him, huh? You've seen some of the movies, some of the thing. Well, that's not too far off, except they don't look like that. What if I told you that they look like you and that we were part of them at one time? We walked around as dead men because our mind was carnal. We were the living dead. We were the congregation of the dead. And God came along and gave us life. We were dead when we didn't know God. But now God has removed that carnal mind and given us a mind that's like his. Isn't that what it was all about? Now we have his mind. Does that change us? Yes, it changes us. What happens to this doesn't matter now, because we have an everlasting bond with the Father through his Son. I'm going to read a scripture to you. Like I said, we're not going to get anywhere near through all of this today. I'll do some more Wednesday. But I want you to listen to this. This is the end goal of what God wants to do. Hope you're getting understanding from some of these things. Wow. First, I'm going to quote a scripture. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him how? In spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. Isn't that true? So if God's a spirit, he wants us to worship him in spirit, we have to get in the spirit to worship him. We have to partake of that spirit to worship him, right? Now listen to this. I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Starting at verse 17. Now the Lord is that spirit. So what did I quote to you before? It was John 3, right? God is a spirit. So this backs it up. Now the Lord is that spirit. And where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Do you want to be free? You want to be free from the things that torment your mind. And from the fears and from the guilt and from the condemnation, from the anger and the wrath and the pride, all of those things. You want to be free from all of that stuff? You want to be free from the things that torment you? You want to be free from the things that cause you so many troubles and for your mind to be constantly occupied with other voices that try to make you go a different way. God wants to take away those voices and let you listen to one, his. Does that make sense? So listen to what this says. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, this is the promise, but we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. What is God going to do for us? As we see Jesus, he's going to change us into the same image. And this is a spiritual image. You're not going to look like Jacob looks now or like I look now. It's going to be a spiritual image. Now you are a son of God like he's a son of God. So your image is different now. It's the image of the Spirit of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's what you get changed into. And listen to what it says is going to happen. We all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image of God, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. What a promise. What a promise. God's going to do that for us. Change us into the same spirit. Remember I told you, you're spiritual beings. Oh, we're wrapped in this stuff. But that goes back to the dust, doesn't it? What you do while you're manifesting. Have you ever asked the question, why am I here? Why am I manifested the way I am right now? Why do I look the way I do? Why do I do the things I do? Why are you here? You're here for a reason. This world was made for us to see manifestation of what goes good and what goes bad. What is good, what is evil, right? We see it all around us, don't we? God wants you to see that. And then he wants you to come to a place where you say, do you want to continue in this or do you want to go to a place that I have prepared for you? No contest. No contest. I don't want this. I don't want to inherit this. what we live in now, I want to inherit what God has in store for me. It's a powerful thing. So we live this life with the opportunity to get to know God. That's why you're here, is for you to get to know God and get to change from being what Satan tried to make you to be into making you what God wants you to be. Isn't that true? Oh, we all know the story of Adam and Eve, don't we? And how Eve went and ate of the fruit of the tree. And by the way, it wasn't an apple. It wasn't a natural fruit. You know what she ate off of? She ate off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And somebody had talked to her in that garden, didn't they? What was it that spoke to her? A serpent. You know what a serpent's interpreted as? A devil. So a devil tried to wreck God's plan, didn't he? Spoke to the soul, to the wife, and she gave to her husband, and he did eat. Now, we have a lot of men walking around this world saying, if that woman hadn't done this or whatever, if that hadn't, that we'd never be in this problem. And they blame women for it, right? Guys, can I show you, enlighten you a little bit? Do you know that that was Adam's very soul? So it was Adam doing it? Remember the scripture says Eve was deceived, but Adam transgressed? God makes it very plain. If you go to the fifth chapter of Genesis, first one or two verses, in fact, maybe we ought to read that. Fifth chapter of Genesis, getting close to the end here. Listen to this. Fifth chapter of Genesis, first verse. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them.
You can't do that.
You tried to do that with
the
big man.
Name Adam.
You can't do that. You're not going to
name Adam. Eve was a part of Adam, wasn't she? Did she come out of Adam? Adam? Didn't he take a rib and form it? Do you realize Adam didn't know his soul until God pulled her out and formed her so that he could see it?
I'll send it so you can listen to it because I recorded it.
So woman came from man. Not
so woman
man
came from man,
from woman.
Not man.
Scripture is very explicit about that.
Woman
came from man because
that.
She's part of man. So he said he called their name Adam. So
their name
separate
Adam.
Eve out. So, yeah, it was her problem. No, was it? No, no. He called their name Adam. It was Adam. It was the part he couldn't see of himself before, and God manifested
himself before, and God manifested.
These mysteries that I'm speaking to you, things that you may not have heard before, proven by the word that I've given you, this is what God wants us to understand and know. God is a spirit, and what he wants us to understand about him is that we have to worship him in spirit. The words I speak unto you right now, they're coming from heaven.
People say, you
very
like
uplifted
like
if you think that. No, God says that it doesn't come from me. I have to get this word from God. Do you think I know all of this by myself? I'm not smart enough to know the plan of God. God does this because he wants us to understand. He chooses men and women who want to know him and understand him and love him and gives the word to them. So when I open out my mouth and speak, guess what pops out? Jesus. Because he's the word of God. In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. So when we speak from heaven, the Spirit brings forth Jesus who made all things.
Jesus who made all things.
And this is his word.
And this is his word.
So am I ashamed to say that? No way.
Am I ashamed to say that?
I love what God has made me. I love that God ordained me to do this.
This
is a powerful thing.
This is a powerful thing.
So it changed me. Am I the same man I was when God came to me and started revealing these things? No, I've changed a lot.
It's all good in the neighborhood.
Changed a lot because God has changed me. The changes you want are wrought in God. That's how it works. You want to change? Quit putting your mind on worldly things, earthly things. You want to change to the spiritual? You want to change and have a walk with Christ? God will do that for you. You just have to believe. That's what we started doing, huh, Ma? We did it. We took that walk together. We were in churches before, and we said, we're not seeing what the Bible says is supposed to happen. And we were right. We weren't seeing it. And we kept asking God for truth. We prayed together. God, show us the truth. Show us the truth. Show us the truth. We sure went through a lot of hell before we got there, though. Didn't we, Mom? Guess what? God revealed to me that I had to go through that. You know why? That was my training ground to understand how God really works and not how man says that he works. That's so powerful. So everything that happened to us, good and evil, I look at it as good now. You know why? Because God trained us. He brought us forth. Through all of those things, he kept us and brought us to this place right here, right now. Next month, we'll be married 48 years. That's a long time to understand the things that God's been trying to teach us. And do we want to keep it to ourselves, or do we want to share it with you? Aren't you the body of Christ? Aren't you the sons of God and daughters of God? This is what God wants us to do. He put us in a position to share because he doesn't want us to keep this to ourselves. He wants the gospel to be preached, and that's what we're preaching right now. Scripture says in the 10th chapter of Romans, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Your faith is being built right now because you're listening to the word of God. You're listening to the gospel. You may not feel it. You may not have a feeling in your body, but what if I told you spiritually you rejoice in that as you receive the understanding of the word? This is what comes forth. So your faith is being built by listening and believing this word. Does that make sense, Patty? And the word is preeminent. It will do what it says to do. And people say, well, I prayed and I did this and I did that and God didn't answer my prayer. Maybe you prayed wrong. Lord, give me $1 million. Help me to do this. Help me to move to Canada. Help me to do this. Buy me a new van. Get me a new car. You prayed wrong. Get me out of all this mess. I don't want to have to go through anything, so just get me out of it. Make everything just hunky-dory for me. That's the wrong prayer. The prayer should be, let thy will be done no matter what I go through, no matter what I experience. Be with me and help me to make it so that when the time comes, I can join you. That's what you want. But people don't want to suffer. They don't want to go through tribulation. What if I told you that tribulation is how you're going to make it? And it's not all the time. I have great times in this world. I've been through some great things. But there's going to be times you're going to go through tribulation. And during that time, you need to believe God and believe him for what his word says. That's true, Patty. It's very true. Tribulation bringeth forth patience. Patience bringeth forth hope. Hope bringeth forth what? Oh, the experience. And then they have to experience the hope. And hope maketh us what? Not ashamed, because it's brought to us and revealed to us by the Holy Ghost. Then we know what hope really is, isn't it? So you're going to have patience. And through that patience, you're going to have to experience some things. We do. And then that experience is going to bring you to hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. We learn about the Holy Ghost through that. So all of this stuff that you're going through, stop and think about what God's been doing with you from the beginning. Last thing. We wonder why we have this world that's inside of us the way it is. It's important you understand this. Ecclesiastes 3:11 I'm reading from right now. He hath made everything beautiful in his time, which is true, because according to the prophecy of God, everything is beautiful because he's in charge of it. He's the one that did it. It's his prophecy that's coming forth. So everything is beautiful. You mean even the evil? Yes, because he uses it to teach you the good. If we didn't have evil, we wouldn't know anything. If everything was always good, it has to show you the opposite of what God is. So that's why evil is present. It serves a purpose. Man, God has shown us some great things. He has made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. So where did this world come from? God gave it to us. I'm talking about this inward world. You know you have a world in you, right? We see this one outsider, but there's a world in you with thoughts and provinces and people and things in it. When you dream, don't you see it? Don't you see the things that are in you? Yeah. You daydream, don't you see them? The things that are in you. And God put a world in us. When he first put it into us, it was clean. Then who came along? Satan. He put a clean world in us. And then we followed and joined ourselves to a being that opposed God. And after a while, we started defiling the world that God put in us. Oh, you know it because you think about it. Think about all the things that you've done in your life. Look at some of the things that weren't so good. So you joined yourself to a spirit that wanted to destroy you and wanted to oppose God. That's his purpose. But God has revealed to us that we have the power over him through Jesus. You can't do it by yourself. It's got to be through Christ. So he put this world in our heart. And you notice he makes a little strange statement that you can't know the beginning from the end. Well, why would he do that? Because he wants to teach you in that world that he's the beginning and the end. He didn't want you to take your own thought on it. I'm going to teach you what it really means. And guess who it is? Jesus Christ in you. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So we have to find Christ in that world, don't we? This is what he wants us to do. He wants us to search. He wants us to believe. He wants us to overcome. We will overcome because he is leading us and guiding us and showing us what we have to deal with. Isn't that true, Patty? We have to deal with it. Don't give up hope. Don't turn to other things to try to soothe yourself. It's not going to work. The only thing that brings you comfort is God. The word of God brings me comfort. I can go to bed at night and sleep, and I could have heard the most horrible news that day about myself. Something coming, oh, this is bad, that's bad, whatever. Okay, but I'm going to turn it over to God. You know what my prayer is? I'm going to pray to God, and I'm going to ask him to be the intercessor for me. Bad news is going to come. Lord, be my intercessor. Bad things are going to happen. Lord, be my intercessor. Give me strength. Help me to bear. Let me always understand that you're with me and you've never left me and I'm not comfortless and that the power of God resides in me. Matthew 10 says this, I give you power over all unclean spirits. Go read it. And he's talking to his disciples. Are you a disciple? Then God has given you power over all unclean spirits. It's through him. You try to do it by yourself, they're going to tear you a new one. You're not strong enough. You can't fight against a spirit. But the God that I serve, he made all spirits. He's the father of all spirits. So can he overcome it? I need help, don't I? I need help. And the greatest help I can get is through Jesus Christ, through that word. He's going to help me to overcome it. He has helped me to overcome it. And he's going to help me to overcome all the stuff that comes in the future. Oh, there's still bad things that have to happen. But I remember all the good things that are going to happen too. In Jesus Christ, that's where my life is. All of those things that are going to happen in him outweigh everything that might happen bad. Because that's where my faith is. That's where my trust is. That's cool, huh? You have power over all unclean spirits through Christ. You don't have the power when you don't have him, and they can tear you new ones. But what if you do have the power with Christ? What if you believe? What if you have faith? You will overcome them no matter what they bring against you. Very cool, isn't it? Very cool. Anybody have something they want to say? I'm ending this now. Wednesday night, we're going to do some talking. You can ask questions or do whatever you want to do, but we're going to talk about these things that God has shown us. We want to make sure you understand the word is preeminent, and that word is Christ. Christ is that actual word spoken from the beginning. And he's in you.